So what part of the cow does that ribeye come from, Joel? I would love an anatomy lesson on that.
Well, and, it comes from the body of the cow.
The body of the cow. Body, yeah. So I was afraid it was come from like something other than the body.
Yeah, it's the ribbish eyeish area.
The ribbish eyeish. I believe that's the Latin name for it.
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of That Reload Life. Today, we're going to be sharing with you something that all of us can relate to, which is the Super Bowl and Super Bowl foods, to be a matter of fact. We have got a giant spread here of great food, but I'd be remiss not to announce that I am sitting next to my co-host, Stacy.
Heyo.
I got Jeremy over here to my left.
What?
And across the table, I got my man, Matt.
Hey.
So we've all come together. We've made a beautiful spread of Super Bowl foods that would be a hit at any party or family gathering.
Well, we're putting them through the ringer and taste testing them just to make sure that they're worthy enough of sharing the recipes.
I feel like I can skip the Super Bowl now because they're so good. I don't even need to do it again.
Well, I'm telling you, it's a...
And we are all actively eating it right now.
We've come into this podcast halfway through.
We are just chowing down. Joel, these nachos you made are insanely good.
You like them?
Oh, my God. So good.
Good.
So, anyways, we have got 5 killer Super Bowl appetizer recipes that we are going to share with you guys today.
Yeah. So if we can stop stuffing our faces for a moment, we might actually get to be able to talk to you about
this. Nope. Not going to happen.
So what I'm gonna do this is a little mukbang action with Matt's pizza.
Egg rolls.
Egg roll pizza egg rolls.
Listen to the crunch.
Here we go.
Yeah, that end is so crispy.
Get on some of that. Mm-hmm. Mm.
So these things, I mean, they're so simple. We just had some black pepperoni sliced at the local deli.
Yeah.
And some freshly shredded mozzarella. Picked up some egg roll wrappers. Put a little bit of the mozzarella and the pepperoni inside the wrapper. You guys will see these recipes. We'll get them posted up on the Reload site.
But... Yep.
Although we did not take any pictures because we just slammed them.
Yeah. But... They're super simple. You do a little egg wash on the corner and then roll it up and deep fry them. But the thing that really sets them off is I took a can of San Marzano tomatoes and like 2 tablespoons of Magnum and some fresh basil and heated it on the stove to make like a simple and quick marinara.
That's money.
Yeah,
it's so good
for the dipping sauce.
I did not watch you make this. Mm-hmm. I did not realize that was just those ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-blowing. And like, it's so good. And he put a little garnish of fresh basil on top of our little... ramekins. It's so good.
Before I sat down, I was like, oh, I don't really like marinara that much, but it's actually really good. Very simple, straightforward, like a little dip. Perfect.
What kind of tomatoes? San Marzano, but were they like peeled, diced?
They're whole tomatoes. Whole tomatoes. You can get them. I think we get Cento brand.
Cento's a really popular brand.
Yeah. And then I took it and pulsed it in the food processor blender or whatever just to get into a sauce consistency.
And then you added the Magnum.
And then Magnum and a little bit of fresh basil on the stovetop.
Not gonna lie, I'm not a big marinara fan either. Like when you go out to a restaurant, bar, whatever, your Applebee's, your Chili's, places like that, and you try to get some bar food and whatnot, normally the marinara is just tomato-y.
Sweet.
Bland, like it's
got that. You know what's funny?
What?
There's no sugar in it.
No sugar at all.
Other than the added, or not added, but whatever's in the tomatoes, but there's not sugar in the blend.
That's really the nice thing about the San Marzanos is they're supposed to be picked at peak ripeness, and then canned right there. And so it's like the best quality tomato you can get here in the States, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So what's everybody's thoughts on these pizza egg rolls?
Home run, man.
Simple and delicious.
Oh, yeah.
So they're crunchy on the outside. You got the gooey mozzarella cheese with thinly sliced pepperoni, and then you dunk it in that simple marinara.
So when you were a kid and you go and you'd like make a giant plate of pizza rolls and whatnot, and you would just hammer them home?
Mm-hmm.
Like... This right here is that kind of food. Not in the sense of flavor, because pizza rolls, in a sense, kind of suck.
You're saying I'm at kid food?
No, this is it's nothing. The kind of food you can just sit there and you're eating so much of it for flavor.
The longer you talk, like the more like you go off track.
The more you're making fun of me, actually.
No, I'm serious.
So think of microwave pizza rolls.
Shut your mouth.
Like, there's
I was making a point.
And then Totino's and is like just a step above. You know what I'm saying?
Hot Pockets.
I would prefer a Totino's party pizza, but... You know, this will do.
Hey, man.
I eat those all the time.
I get some party pizza. Those are so good.
This is gourmet, guys. Yeah.
No, I'm saying what I'm getting at is, like, I would just love to have just a giant plate of these, and that would be sufficient for me.
A whole meal.
I mean?
Because you got the vegetables, which is, well, I guess basil's not a vegetable.
The basil and the tomato.
This is a great vegetable. I could eat on that, yeah.
It's a balanced meal.
A tomato is not a vegetable. No. So.
You could dip it in ranch dressing. You could.
In all honesty,
oh, that's
though,
a vegetable.
That would definitely balance it out. That would make it more healthy.
In all honesty, this simple marinara, like, you could use that for pastas, spaghettis. So just a can of San Marzano's, some fresh basil, and 2 tablespoons of Magnum.
That's it. Wow, guys. I actually think it would make a good pizza sauce, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got to try that for sure.
Throwback to the year of pizza there.
That's right.
A little touch of, like, packing heat in there to give it a little heat and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Mm. All right. So let's, I want to roll over to Jeremy's.
Yeah.
Philly
cheesesteak sliders.
Yeah.
So, super simple.
Since Philly didn't make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Suckers.
Philly's making it this way.
If I watched football, I would understand that reference, but I don't because all I'm doing is cooking.
Sports ball.
Yeah. Let's play some feet ball, guys.
Win.
Win, team, win. So I took some peppers, sweet onions, mushrooms, diced all that up. Use the Camp Chef Sidekick with the griddle top and sauteed all that in a bunch of butter. I took a ribeye that I put in the freezer for about an hour so it would firm up a little bit, sliced that real thin, seasoned it with a bunch of Magnum, also seared that off on the Camp Chef flat top there, mixed all that together, threw a bunch of slices of provolone cheese on it, put all of that mess in between some Hawaiian sweet rolls that had been cut in half and given a quick sear on the flat top also, cut those up and serve them up.
So, did you do anything different to the vegetables? Because I know you put butter in them, but besides that, did you do...
Nope.
Yeah, is there any seasoning or anything on the vegetables?
There's no seasoning on them at all. I only seasoned the steak, and then I mixed all that together once it was all cooked up. Using that Camp Chef Sidekick with the grill top, it's so big I was able to push the vegetables over to the side to keep them warm, and then cook the steak kind of in the center, and then I mixed it all together once everything was cooked up. And then just threw the cheese on top.
Because I think that was my favorite part was that pepper, onion, mushroom mix. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that I could have had 8 of those.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, man, and I think that's what you want. You want, when you got a Super Bowl party, when you are doing kind of like a heavy hors d'oeuvres, I mean, you want something that's, you don't, that you can just pick up and go with. You know what I mean?
These were pretty messy.
They were messy, but I mean, like... I'm telling you, man, I could have ate those. That was probably one of the
best. But you don't need a fork and a knife for it.
No. Just a little plate.
I was picking up off my plate.
Yeah, just a little bits.
Just with my hand.
I mean, they were loaded.
I definitely overloaded the ones we had. We probably could have spread that over at like 8. I made like 6 of them. But, you know.
I like it messy like that.
Like it messy? But yeah, no, they're pretty simple, straightforward, few ingredients. But using a ribeye, a high-quality steak like that, laying that fat render on that griddle top and then mixing all that back in together,
and you're cooking
that's just
in it.
Flavor. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
100%. Oh, they're so, like, the flavor in this ribeye is so amazing.
Yeah, and it's just a quick sear on a cast iron with a little bit of Magnum.
And what's great about it, you're cutting it so thin, you're not worried about, like, you know, temp or anything just freaking.
So what I did was I popped that ribeye into the freezer for about an hour or so beforehand, that way it firmed up a little bit so you could really slice it like less than an eighth of an inch thick and just threw it onto the cast iron, super hot, little sear, done.
Money. And ribeye was a good choice for that, for
oh
sure.
Thank you. I was unaware that ribeye is a good choice for a nice fatty steak.
If people didn't know in this world that their ribeye was a good choice for a good beautiful fatty steak.
Ribeye is always
Would you say ribeye is a popular steak now?
I think it would. Yeah, you know, if you really want me to educate you in the matter.
Oh yes, please. I would love to know. So what part of the cow does that ribeye come from, Joel? I would love an anatomy lesson on that.
Well, you know, it comes from the body of the cow.
The body of
the
cow.
Body,
I was afraid it was come from like something other than the body. body.
Yeah, you notice it's the ribbish eyeish area.
The ribbish eyeish. I believe that's the Latin name for it. Ribbius eyeish.
Okay, no. It's a backstrap.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah.
It comes with the back. Kiss my ass. There you go.
Tons of fat in there, so that renders all out, and that just is incredible. If you use something like a tenderloin or even a strip steak, you really wouldn't have that same flavor to it. So
100%.
Yeah. I will say, so we've done something similar with New York strips before.
Mm-hmm.
Was not this good.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that fat content definitely makes a difference.
You need the fat for the flavor.
The first time I ever made these, there was a real hump for me to get over because I was like, I'm wasting a whole ribeye on some sandwiches. This is ridiculous. But then, like, when you eat them, you're like, oh, okay, it makes sense.
It's worth it.
It's one steak with four of us here eating it, too. Mm-hmm. So
it goes a long way.
A little bit of steak a long way.
Yeah, this is a very healthy meal. Lots of vegetables in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So next, Joel.
Yes, it was good.
You made something for us?
So I did something simple. You know, we smoked a pork butt. And we did an 8-pound pork butt. And all we did was season it up with our sweet and smoky barbecue blend, double action. And we pulled that jazz. We got some. I made pulled pork nachos. That's what I'm doing the long description to. But Stacy, she whipped up a some homemade pickled onion recipe that is fantastic. So we got.
And that really, I feel like, pulls the nachos together. Yeah. That tangy with the smoky.
The little zestiness, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so just, you know, regular tortilla chips. The smoked pulled pork. We've got, you know, we got some shredded cheese all over it, jalapenos. Nachos are kind of like you can put whatever you want on it. You know, you can, it's endless toppings. But we did jalapenos, we did pickled onions, we did, what kind of cheese did you buy?
Monterey Jack.
Monterey Jack cheese. I was going to say Colby Jack, but there's no orange in there. And then after I put it in the oven at 400 until the cheese was melted. Really simple, man, but it's a huge dish. And I dusted it with more barbecue seasoning, more of the double action on top. And then we put, I actually made a barbecue mayo, which is just mayo and our double action that you season to taste. We can put that on top, or you can put some barbecue sauce on top. It's just simple and easy, which I think for you know, a lot of Super Bowl food.
Easily a crowd pleaser. Yeah.
Well, it feeds a ton of people because we've got like the largest cast iron skillet known to man out here, and it's a giant trough, and we're all just dipping our hands into it and shoving it into our mouths.
What's that pan, like 128 inches across?
Yeah.
About so, that?
Give or take.
What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I have thoughts.
On it.
They're good. Yeah. Good thoughts on it.
They're in my belly.
Half the pan is missing right now, so.
Yeah. I think the best thing about like this dish is anybody can kind of take it and load it up however they want.
Yeah, because
like, this is a good example of like how keeping it simple. Like it's really the sum is greater than the parts. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you like olives, sour cream, you know, you could load it up with all that stuff.
And if you're not somebody that has a smoker or smokes pork, you know, you can do it in your oven. Or you can just go buy some pulled pork if you really want and make it go a long way with something like this. You got to feed a lot of people.
You could throw a steak in there. You could throw chicken in there. You could throw a lot of stuff in there. Venison, if you'd like, if you're a hunter and stuff, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you could really make this your own very easily.
Nachos are like pizza, man. You can put just about anything on.
Except for pineapple and ham.
I love pineapple and ham. Mm.
You do?
You would.
I only like it because Jeremy hates it.
Actually, it's not that bad.
So we need to roll into this because I think the two of the dishes that Stacy came up with is something that if you're in a pinch, if it's a last minute thing and you got to make something quick, but you want it to be really good, I think what Stacy made is pretty awesome. Break it down.
There's a lot of times where you're invited to a party and they say, okay, we'll bring a dish. Well, sometimes that's hard to do, you know, like Jeremy's sliders. That's something that you'd have to mess up their entire kitchen to come in there, and because you would want to serve it fresh.
Wow, way to throw shade at me.
They're delicious. But, you know, you want to just bring something that's already made that can stand the test of time, you know, 4 or 5 hours worth of the game, the pre-games and stuff like that. So my appetizers, I made two cold appetizers. The first one is a cheese ball. I shaped it into the shape of a football, so, you know, hey.
Got those football season.
So I took two blocks of cream cheese and microwaved them until they were softened enough.
Well, how long did you microwave? give or take.
45 seconds.
Gotcha.
Okay, so they're softened enough. Add 2 teaspoons of fully loaded seasoning blend. A 1/4 cup of diced jalapenos from the jar, because it's got that pickly flavoring to it. 1/4 cup of bacon bits. 1 cup of Colby Jack cheese, and just whipped it up, mixed it all together, shaped it into the shape of a football, and then covered it.
Yep.
In bacon bits, which gives it that pigskin.
That's right.
Look to it.
Literally.
Literally a pigskin.
Literally. Literally.
Yeah, so and I've, so I just put Ritz crackers all around it on a plate, and you've got a cheese ball.
So I'm somebody who could just sit and eat cream cheese, like, with a knife and some crackers. You know what I mean? Just, like, slathering it on crackers.
Me too.
I want to know, how did you get this? Because this is not nearly as dense as just cream cheese by itself. How did you get it? It's kind of light and fluffy, almost like a whipped cream.
I think it's because instead of letting it soften at room temperature, I microwaved it for about 45 seconds and then whipped it up really, really good. So it kind of got that whippy texture.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't leave it in the refrigerator very long. Mm. You know, a lot of people say, like, refrigerate your cheese balls overnight or whatever. Yeah. Well, then it gets really hard, and then you go in to dip and your cracker breaks.
Yeah, so you can just dip right into this.
Refrigerate maybe an hour. If that, or you can serve it straight from when you've made it. You know, it'll last a few hours. So
I wonder if actually microwaving it. You know, how, this is probably a bad analogy, but you know how when you microwave a marshmallow, how it blows up.
Yeah,
and I wonder if that.
I don't normally microwave marshmallows.
You never microwave a marshmallow? Oh, it is cool as hell.
It
if you've not microwaved
cool.
a marshmallow, you need to do it.
Is that why your microwave is so dirty?
Yeah.
You've been microwaving marshmallows?
When I'm bored.
Really? I need some analogies for tomorrow.
I need a hobby.
Some marshmallows.
What will this button do? All right, so anyways, I'm gonna step out now. Next.
And my second appetizer is, I said appetizer.
Which I'm going to need some more of.
Get some of those. We have a ton. I don't know what we would call it. It is just a hors d'oeuvre, a finger food. Get a Ritz cracker. Get the whipped cream cheese. Spread it all over the cracker.
They're so good.
A nice little dollop of cocktail sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then an already cooked and deveined shrimp. I removed the tails. Put it on top of the cocktail sauce and sprinkle it with fully loaded. Sounds very plain, but for some reason, all of those flavors seem to come together, and they make the perfect little appetizer.
They're crack crackers.
They're crack crackers.
Yep. They're so good.
And they look fancy.
On the website, right?
Yep.
Crack crackers.
That's right. Fully loaded crack crackers.
You know, the cheese ball and the shrimp crackers are on our website, reloadrub.com. You can find those. Hopefully, we can get the other ones added on there as well, but... you've got to go to someone's house and you want to make some. You look pretty bougie. You make these things and they look fancy and they taste great, but you can make them in 5 minutes.
But I think that's what's so good about the last two is that we've actually been there. We've been to the point where it's like, I forgot to go to the store, or someone said, hey, we're having a last minute, you want to come over? We never like to go empty-handed, and something like this is like something we can, on the way, stop, grab, and make in the kitchen, you know, in 5 minutes.
We refuse to, like, buy anything that's already made
when
we go to parties. It's always got to be something decently homemade.
Nice thing about these two dishes, too, is they use a lot of the same ingredients, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could really take both, and it's, but they taste completely different. Like, I don't want to, you know, say that they're overlapping or anything like that. They both have cream cheese in them, but... And crackers, but they're still unique.
You were able to knock out both of these in the time any of us knocked out one dish.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm eating some of
the... And I ran my mouth.
Bacon ball.
I'm well, still chewing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always run my mouth.
You did good on the bacon. Sorry, I'm eating. So...
Yeah, you definitely didn't skip on the bacon.
No.
Lots of bacon.
Joel likes extra bacon.
I used to freaking... I would complain hardcore, man.
He'd sit there while I'd make it and be like, more! More.
She's a big stickler for following recipes to a T.
Mm-hmm.
So early in our dating and marriage and whatnot.
We didn't date very long.
We'd be making something. And she'd be like, well, the recipe says this. I'm like, I don't care. I want more of this. Give me, you know, handles.
That
go.
Surprises me that you don't follow recipes. That's really strange to me. Wow. Huh.
No.
Wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have thunk.
Well, maybe either,
he goes
Jeremy.
Off the path.
Yeah.
We usually follow it the first
time.
We'll follow, like, the recipe to the T the first time. And then it's like, we could make this better.
If I'm baking something, I'll follow it pretty closely. Mm-hmm. But if it's like something like this or whatever, I'm like, no. If it's like one clove of garlic, I'm like, yeah, seven's good.
No, listen, everybody listening, you have to follow mine to a T.
I'm a pack of one. Okay.
I don't want to hear people like taking a cracker and putting mustard down with a shrimp. You follow it. You put the cream cheese, the cocktail sauce. That
sounds
with the
horrible.
Shrimp. I know.
I don't know. Like some whole grain mustard?
I don't know if that sounds that bad.
I'm thinking like French's. French's yellow mustard. Well, now. Well, all that stuff was great, man. These are some simple, easy, awesome recipes. Like, I mean, I think the most complicated one was probably yours, Matt, just because assembly.
I don't know.
You mean your 11-hour smoked pork butt wasn't the most complicated?
I was going to say, you started that last night.
I know, but I mean, like, what do I do? I season it, I throw it in the smoker, and that's, you know what I mean?
Well, for you, that's easy, but for someone who doesn't have a smoker, like,
I guess that's true.
They could do it in the oven at 225 degrees until internal temperature of 160, wrap it in foil, and then cook to 201.
I would never recommend someone do that, because that sounds horrible.
Well, there's an option.
What do you mean? What sounds horrible?
Cooking a pork butt in the oven instead of cooking it on a smoker.
Oh, heck, do people do it all the time?
Doesn't mean it's the right thing to do.
I know, but people can't afford to buy a daggum smoker.
I'll tell you.
And they do it in a slow cooker, too.
Like, a lot of times, especially early on in my barbecue at home, I don't know.
Oh, my
career.
God. If you start saying that you cooked the barbecue in the pot or something.
No. So, we've talked about before.
Jump across his table at you.
I started in like a Masterbuilt cabinet smoker, just like Joel did.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's still smoke though. That's
okay, listen.
Fine.
So I would take it to 160 in the smoker, mm-hmm. and then at that point you're wrapping it in foil. It doesn't matter if it's in the smoker or not.
Yeah.
So I would take it and put it in the oven at that point.
Right. I did that 2 weeks ago because I had to run out to the airport to pick up my wife who was coming back mm-hmm. into town. So I put it in the oven inside. No, that's no big deal. You're still getting the smoke. Flavor.
Right, but I think that can help some folks who don't want to have to sit there and tend a smoker all night long or whatever.
Well, that's why you add double action because it has the smoky component to it.
Right,
right. Yeah, and if, you know, one thing that we have done in the past too with pulled pork is after it's shredded, if you don't get a lot of smoke in it, we re-season the meat.
Mm.
You know, because...
That's almost a must.
Yeah,
I do that every single time.
You know, pull it because, you know, that's a big heavy cut.
Mm-hmm.
And... unless you get like a good bark on the outside.
Oh yeah,
you're gonna sloth a lot of that away, mm-hmm. and you're not gonna get that flavor. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're not getting the smoke from it, then you're just eating, you know,
just roast pork,
unseasoned roast pork. Yeah,
yeah. Yep.
So we've seasoned it, like just kind of sprinkled some extra rub in on the shredded meat. The other thing I like to do is just cake it on the outside as thick as possible. That way, when you pull it down and then like toss it with the gloves or whatever, mm-hmm. it's gonna kind of mix in on its own too.
I season mine till you can't see the meat anymore. You know, a solid layer.
And what seasoning?
So there's a lot of companies I really like. Let me shout out a few of them. Reload Rub Double Action on any pork is amazing, and you'd be wrong not to use it.
Amen.
Yep. 100% agree.
So that's that as far as I guess I missed out on breaking down the pork. I was just like, hey, I made pork nachos, and mm-hmm. here you go, guys. But
figure it out on your own.
Yeah, seriously. So if you have any questions, ask my wife. So all right, well, I think we've I want to eat some more, and the Titans are playing for a spot into the Super Bowl. They're winning.
We should say we're recording this episode before we even know who's going to the Super Bowl, right?
That's right.
So
yeah.
Hopefully the Titans make it.
Yeah, so the Titans right now are playing the Chiefs, and nobody's giving them a shot. But we're going to walk in there, and we're going to kick some A, and we're going to see the Titans in the Super Bowl, y'all.
Be amazing.
So
now you've got five easy, awesome, freaking killer Super Bowl recipes.
Yep.
Hopefully it makes it easier when you guys are planning on what to make. I know there's times where I'm, like, not quite sure what I'm going to make. Five recipes right in your face. You feel free to DM us at ReloadRub on Instagram, on Facebook, or you can even email me, stacy@reloadrub.com. I'll be sure to pass these recipes on to you guys. Make sure you follow, subscribe,
and
hand it on over to Joel.
I ain't got nothing else to say. We're going to hop off here. We're going to finish eating. We're going to watch the football. We love you guys, and we thank y'all. Matt, Jeremy, y'all did awesome.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Had a good one. Cheers.
Cheers.
Later.
Got some Hawaiian sweet rolls, got a little sear on them, put it all together, cut them up, and that's pretty much it.
I appreciate your endurance.
And yeah. We'll pause.
All right, give us just a second. We'll be right back.